Welcome to the Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Merhat Sharipjan, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Welcome, Merhat.
Thank you for bringing me here today.
All right. It's great to see you here again. Okay, well, the coming new year is 2020, of course, but Russian President Vladimir Putin clearly has at least one eye on 2024 when his current term is due to end, and the current constitution bars him from running for re-election. Now, there's been a lot of talk since even before he started this presidential term in 2018 about what he might do to maintain power after it's over. We've had some kind of news on the this front from his press conference, kind of unexpectedly made news, I would say, with a comment about possible changes to the Constitution. One thing that he said that caught a lot of ears and eyes was it would be possible to remove the phrase "in a row" from the part of the Constitution where it says no single person can be president for more than two terms in a row. So that's seems like a sign that, well, he's not going to try to use the Constitution to remain president, or to, that he probably will not try to remain president in 2024 or come back in 2030, although still a little bit of a chance of that. But it's definitely opened the door for change that would make parliament and the prime minister stronger and the president weaker. He also discussed this in a little less specific terms, suggesting that such changes could be made in a vague way. He talked about, I guess, the balance of forces. And then again, I think the following day, he made further comments along these lines, I believe suggesting that, it was reasonable to consider a shift of balance of power between the president and parliament because Russia has developed a fairly stable party system. At least that's how he explained it, or how he described it. So obviously, if you if the Constitution were to be changed to give the parliament and prime minister more power and make the president weaker, and also have the president be unable to serve more than two terms, that could enable Putin to retain power either as prime minister, or more likely, I would say, or analysts say, from some other position, maybe a newly created one, or some status that puts him above the fray and above the daily grind. A lot of people say he doesn't really want to, you know, be doing the day-to-day work of running the country, but one that would ensure, or try to ensure, that Putin holds ultimate power. Merhat, what do you think? Has Putin been giving hints and laying groundwork for an effort to stay in power after 2024?
I think so, and I think one of the best examples for Putin here in this situation is the example of neighboring Kazakhstan. And we know that early this year, 2019, in March, Nazarbayev unexpectedly, Nursultan Nazarbayev, a veteran president who ran the Central Asian nation for almost 30 years, unexpectedly announced about his resignation and picked up his successor, Kasym Jomart Tokayev. But today we see that he still represents Kazakhstan at international summits, even at international events, and he still has a right to decide on foreign policy of Kazakhstan, and he is a major person with whom President, so-called President Kasym-Jomart Tokayev, in this case, discusses the appointments to key positions, and he also retains a title of a leader of the nation, which gives him limitless powers, which are much wider than presidential powers. In a way, in Kazakhstan, presidential powers are already limited so far.
Right.
So I think for Putin in this case, we know that in the past there were several cases when he was named as a leader of the nation, either by journalists or by either by journalists who are working for Kremlin-controlled media outlets, or by some politicians at so-called sessions and gatherings of All Russia National Front.
Right.
And yes, I think in a way Putin now is looking for some way to preserve the powers to be still a decision maker, a major decision maker, I would say. And that's why he is trying to see what the people are going to, how the people are going to react to his ideas about giving less power to president, giving more power to the parliament. He also, like the president of Kazakhstan, he might remain a chief of the ruling party, the United Russia. The role of the party is increasing, and it's already very impressive. So I think, yes, Putin is trying to find a way to stay in power and continue to rule behind the scene.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's interesting to talk about the kind of Kazakhstan model or Nazarbayev model. There's been a lot of talk about Putin possibly attempting to retain power as head of a Russia-Belarus union that would be beefed up. So far, that, you know, beefing that up and making it stronger and kind of unified enough to really create a head position on top that would serve Putin's potential purpose for that. You know, so far that hasn't happened. So, you know, and possibly he could go for this kind of Kazakh model. I think, interesting parallels. You mentioned he could be the party chief, and it's funny because United Russia, obviously not very popular, much less popular than Putin himself, but he doesn't seem to be making any moves to do away with it. I think he seems to be suggesting that he wants to continue with this kind of, maybe change electoral rules somewhat, but continue maybe with the same or a similar party structure. So potentially one thing he could do would be to become head of United Russia, which I don't believe he ever has been. I think he's not. He's been careful not even to be a member of it. And again, the other parallels with Nazarbayev, well, he's head of, I think, the Kazakh Security Council.
Yep.
So there's talk Putin could be the head. Well, he could potentially be the head or some kind of a new, stronger head of the Russian Security Council, or they could beef up the State Council, which has existed for a while and there was talk of doing for some time. And you mentioned leader of the nation. I mean, there's definitely been talk about Putin being, you know, transitioning to a more kind of a higher position, but one that's not as formal, perhaps, or not as kind of day to day in terms of doing the work. But as you mentioned, state media, state controlled media, state loyal media have positioned him as as the leader, leader of the nation, national leader. I've noticed, I think, RIA and other news agencies sometimes call him, you know, the Russian leader, which, okay, that's, you know, that can be a synonym, you know, for president in a way. But to me, it seems like it's a specific way to say that, he's president, but then he also is leader, and that's not going to change. So I think there's a conscious effort to set that up. Another thing interesting, you mentioned sort of the president, the nominal president in Kazakhstan, his powers are fairly limited. And one thing I didn't really realize about what Putin said about the possibility of removing the "in a row" phrase from, nobody can serve two presidential terms in a row. Some analysts are saying, that could actually be tailored to restrict Medvedev. The idea being Medvedev could be set up to return to the presidency. I mean, I find this really, so many people were pretty angry when Medvedev was president and then they switched back to Putin. So I find it, I don't know, I guess a lot of analysts are saying this could happen. To me, it seems like maybe it would make sense for Putin to go with somebody else. But in any case, if Medvedev were to be returned as president in 2024, presumably a limit of 2 terms at any time would mean he could not stay in power as president after 2030. So that would kind of make him an immediate lame duck, thus increasing Putin's potential power in whatever position he would hold. So, you know, that's another way, another kind of factor that could be in this. And as you mentioned, I think the whole thing with Putin's comments in his press conference and I think it was in response to a question from Maria, or maybe it was Komsomolskaya Pravda, but in any case, certainly seemed to have been set up, you know, for a specific answer from Putin. But so it's, you know, it's definitely a trial balloon to see how people react. And on that note, or on that score, I read a little analysis by, I think, Tatiana Stanovaya. She's talking about how this is going to be, well, I hopefully I'm getting this not too wrong, but the preparations for this are going to lead to more attention kind of in the elite. And so there's a possibility that this kind of search for stability or for, you know, a stable transition to what's next may lead to the opposite or may lead to instability and even, well, kind of fear in the elites about what their position is and what's going to happen next. And certainly I think she is suggesting that this won't lead to any kind of liberalism, but on the contrary, will probably cause the authorities to try to tighten control, if anything. So I guess the question, Merha, would be, you know, what do you think? Do you think this kind of effort to make a transition to a new position, if Putin is doing that, do you think that's likely to lead to more stability or to less stability?
Well, I think it's in the situation where Russia is in, especially latest events show that the popularity of Putin is getting lower, and the popularity of the United Russia is getting down. And I think if it goes that direction, the protest mood in the country is very high. And even, again, if you compare with Kazakhstan, everybody thought that, well, Nazarbayev is going to step down. There was a lot of kind of expectations of liberalization, and nothing happened. On the contrary, more people started. The first move was to rename the capital. People started protesting. The protests were violently dispersed. There were some other protests in the country. Several protests, which is very unusual, because when before Nazarbayev's resignations, at least in the last decade of his rule, there were no demonstrations of that scale.
Right.
So it looks like it's going to be even worse. And if people realize now that Nazarbayev, they have a joke. He left in order to stay. So it looks like if Putin goes that way, Russia Russia is different than Kazakhstan. There are many things which are common, but what is different, people are more active, especially in big cities, especially in Moscow, St. Petersburg, and the protests will take place. I'm sure about it, and it would be even worse. And the only way in this situation for Putin and his people will be to tighten to make it even more repressive, the whole system.
Yeah. So. Well, some grim kind of thoughts, but I think Stanovaya's analysis is similarly grim. And I guess certainly Putin and the Kremlin are watching what's been happening in Kazakhstan, and you know, I think that's part of the reason why I mean, it's early. Obviously, it's going to be 2020 next year, and then they'll have parliamentary elections in 2021. But I think Putin is watching closely what's happening in Kazakhstan, and definitely going to move slowly and deliberately in terms of whatever changes he might want to make in Russia to retain power. But I do think we saw strong signs in the last week or so that this whole process is starting. All right, well, let's wrap it up there, Merhat. Thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, thanks. That's it for today. I'll be back next Monday, next year, actually, for another Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward. Thanks for listening, and s'naступающим.